Hey everybody, welcome back to Concierge Confidential. I'm your host, Brian Ortega, and in this week's episode, we're going to be talking about geography. Well, I know it doesn't sound like the most exciting thing, but I promise this has something to do with Las Vegas. So I'm actually going to be talking about the geography of the Las Vegas Strip and downtown, but more specifically, how you kind of break up the Strip into a location that you want to hang out at for an extended period of time. So what I mean by this is that I really want to break up like kind of the Strip into like three hotels, because the Strip is a very large strip of the street. It's about 4.5 miles long, which doesn't sound forever, but when you cut it up with all the streets and then of course all of the separations and also like different things you're going to want to be doing, it can actually be very long. So I always like to sort of break up the Strip as in like three hotel sections. So in this particular episode, I'm going to explain what these sections are all kind of like and what you should expect in these parts of the Las Vegas Strip. So hopefully this helps you in terms of planning your trip and picking what hotels are going to work best for your trip when you come to Las Vegas. So in this episode this week, we're going to be talking about the geography of the Las Vegas Strip. Okay, everybody, so let's go ahead and break it down. So we're going to be talking about the geography on the Las Vegas Strip. So we're going to start from the south end and then move our way north. So essentially, we are breaking down what is around this area and really what it caters to, because it's kind of funny sort of breaking down the Las Vegas Strip, because you might say, well, these hotels, they're kind of all built individually, which they are, but for the most part, they all kind of know what their neighbors are doing, and they know how they want to stack up next to their neighbor. And it also is important to note what hotels are owned by their neighbors, because a lot of these hotels, essentially half of the Strip is owned by MGM, the other half is owned by Caesars Entertainment, and it kind of goes from there. So we're going to sort of break it down in three hotel chunks. I always like to tell people that really all these hotels are like three hotel chunks as you go down the Las Vegas Strip. So let's start at the south end of the Strip, which is actually a really great place to start because we have the Mandalay Bay, the Luxor, and the Excalibur. So these hotels, for the longest time, used to be essentially the like good-looking, like girlfriend, what's the best way to look at it? It's sort of like the cousin that you know has to come to the barbecue, but it's sort of like that distant cousin that's, you know it's related, but you know you're kind of okay, you're all right with it. So the new thing is these hotels, Mandalay Bay, Luxor, and Excalibur, are now part of the Allegiant Stadium section of the Las Vegas Strip. So these hotels are the three closest hotels to Allegiant Stadium, specifically Mandalay Bay. Allegiant Stadium and the Raiders have really helped this section of the Las Vegas Strip by making it sort of like the stadium district. This is where you're going to be walking past if you're going to be going to a Raiders game. It's going to be the section you're going to be walking past if you're going to a concert. So really, they've really benefited from having Allegiant Stadium there. So I would call this the stadium district. Essentially, that's what they call it. But this is really a hybrid sort of family district, just because these hotels cater towards, I would say, mid-level adults. So in terms of, you know, like I would say 30s to their 50s, and then also people with children. So why do I say that? So Mandalay Bay has wonderful restaurants on the inside, but they're all very approachable restaurants. So like Wolfgang Puck has an Italian restaurant there. They have Crossroads. They also have Libertine Social, which is so funny that place used to be like the cool spot. Now it's sort of, you know, whatever. Strip Steak, which is a Michael Mina steakhouse. Very, very good. They also have Kumi, which is a really, really popular Japanese restaurant. And of course, they have many different casual, fast casual restaurants inside of Mandalay Bay as well. Skyfall Lounge, great lounge. But other than that, it's a lot of stuff for a lot of different people, because Mandalay Bay also has the Shark Reef exhibit, which is inside of the Mandalay Bay. So this is really great for children. They also have a fantastic pool area, which again is a huge benefit if you have children coming to Las Vegas, because it has the beach. It has the Mandalay Bay Beach with their artificial wave waves. Oh my goodness, wave pool. They also have many different other pools connected to it as well, including Marea, which used to be a topless pool. I don't think it's optional anymore, which we've kind of gone away from those pools, but hey, what can you do? But they have many different pools over at Mandalay Bay. Then you get over to the Luxor. The Luxor itself, the reason that I say that it's kid-friendly is because it has a lot of exhibits on the inside. They have the Titanic exhibit. They have the King Tut exhibit as well. They do have... they're no longer there. This is where Jabberwockies used to be. Man, I'm really just sort of like old now. But this is actually where Carrot Top performs. It's also where Fantasy performs, which is a topless show, not for kids. So really the reason I say it is for kids is because of their exhibits. They have a nice pool. It is important to note that the Luxor Hotel does like to cater itself to the LGBTQ plus community. So they usually have a pool party on Sundays, or at least they used to. I have to sort of double check on it. But that is sort of one of the things that they're known for their pool. So just keep that in mind if you're going to be traveling with your children. But overall, Luxor itself is always a fun hotel to stay at if you have kids, just because of the pyramid structure. There's been many sort of bad reviews on the Luxor Hotel. This was the hotel where the media stayed for Allegiant Stadium. But in terms of if you are going to a concert or a football game over at Allegiant, Luxor and Mandalay Bay are some of your closest options to the stadium. Also, we have the Excalibur Hotel. The Excalibur Hotel opened in 1990. I want to say it might be 1989, actually. It's got to be around that time that the Excalibur opened. They do have an arcade, a very large arcade, in the basement of the hotel, essentially. It's also where they have the Tournament of Kings show, which is a kid-friendly show as well. And again, another sort of kid sort of oriented hotel. But again, whenever I say these are kid oriented, it means there is like one or two things inside for kids. Because remember, these are hotel and casinos. But this is essentially the stadium district where your three major hotels are going to be the closest to Allegiant Stadium. Also, all three of these hotels are connected through monorail. And of course, bridges that connect all three of these hotels as well. So essentially, if you are staying at any three of these hotels, this will be the section that you hang out the most. These tend to sort of fluctuate in prices the most. Mandalay Bay tends to be the most expensive because it is the most like four-star friendly. They also have a Four Seasons on the top of the Mandalay Bay. And then it usually has a larger room types, larger room types. The Luxor Hotel, they have different room types, but essentially they kind of all look the same. Excalibur, it's probably going to be your most affordable choice of these three options, with one of the better locations in terms of being closer towards, more towards the center of the strip. So that's important to keep note of for that. So it's important to note, the Tropicana will no longer be here by the time this recording comes out. I believe they'll have one day left before they are closed. I did check it out. It was beautiful, at least on the inside, at least the very nice stained glass above the casino area. But it's time. The biggest thing about Las Vegas living here is that you have to know that the only thing that is certain is that we will be imploding hotels, moving hotels, closing hotels, and putting something new in its place, which that is the rumored spot to be where the A's will be putting their stadium, and we'll see when that happens. So we won't talk about that on this particular part of the pod. So usually, you usually have this section of, I like to keep it sort of on one side of the strip, but for the MGM Grand, you can't do that. So the MGM Grand is actually a very large hotel that can be put into its own sort of category. It was the largest hotel in the entire world for over 20 years. It has 5,462 hotel rooms, including the MGM Signature, which is really funny because it's actually like a couple streets down from the MGM Grand. But we'll put these three hotels together. So MGM Grand, New York, New York, and the Park MGM. So this is sort of like the MGM Triumphant, if you will. So all three of these hotels are actually owned by MGM Grand. So MGM Grand itself, I would say, is going to give you the most diverse options. Does it have a lot of options for children? I wouldn't say so. They do have a very large pool, which people tend to love because the pool is so, so large. It's really only rivaled by the pool over at the Mandalay Bay with their wave pool. MGM Grand also has one of the only remaining lazy rivers, so people tend to like to take their kids to that property as well. This will also have the largest room selection, just because, one, they have so many rooms, they have a lot of room types. Just note, if you ever do stay at the MGM Grand, you do not want to stay in the West Wing. The West Wing is the oldest part of the hotel. It's part of the hotel that used to be called the Marina, which some of those rooms actually do not have windows. So if you're one of those people that just says, hey, I'm going to use the hotel room to sleep in and that's the only thing, sure, go ahead and book a West Wing room, but they are extremely small. They're essentially studio apartments, to be honest with you. So they're quite, quite small. Probably the size of the New York, New York, which is what we'll be talking about next. But the MGM Grand, they're going to have a very diverse selection of food. They have Craft Steak, which is one of my favorite steakhouses. They have Morimoto, which is a very high-end Japanese restaurant done by Chef Morimoto. They also have Lucchini, which is an Italian restaurant. Pretty straightforward, actually. This is a really good place if you want to take a family, just because they will have lots of options, family style. They also have a speakeasy in the back of their pizzeria, so keep an eye out for that. That's Chesbipi. You can always check that out on my Instagram page, which is concierge_confidential_LV, or on TikTok, which is @KeysToVegas, if you want to check out and see what the entrance to Lucchini's Chesbipi looks like. They also have, I believe, a Jonas Brothers restaurant, which actually has live music. I walked by there the other day when I was going to the monorail, and that was actually very intriguing. So I might try that out sometime soon, but I do love live music in my restaurants, so I do really enjoy that. But again, they also have Wolfgang Puck's Bar and Grill, which is a very straightforward bar and grill restaurant. It's been there forever. They also have one of the only three Michelin star restaurants in Las Vegas. It's called Jean Robuchon, and that is actually from Jean Robuchon himself. He's now passed away, but Jean Robuchon, and they also have L'Atelier, which L'Atelier is a very wonderful experience if you can't get into Jean Robuchon itself, which is a 3-star Michelin restaurant. They do have over at L'Atelier, they have 1 Michelin star, which is going to be more sort of table side as well. So it's sort of like a bar top. But part of it is actually you are kind of in the kitchen with them making it, which is very cool. So very much a very wide spectrum of different cuisines and types of food to eat. They also have Ka, which is a Cirque du Soleil show, one of the remaining Cirque du Soleil shows that I think is still worth going and seeing. Again, really good for adults, really good for kids, a very, very diverse round of things you can get at MGM Grand. Why do I know so much about MGM Grand? That is where I used to be a concierge at. So quite fantastic. Sort of bringing back memories. They also have nice lounges. I would say their lounge game is probably not my favorite. I'm not a big fan of the lounges over at MGM Grand, just because they don't have what I'm looking for, essentially, that other places do. So I don't really enjoy their lounges. They also have Hakkasan, which is one of the major nightclubs in Las Vegas, and Wet Republic, which is one of the major day clubs. They're both owned by Hakkasan Group, naturally. But Hakkasan is a really good place for EDM. It's also a really good place to eat because they actually have a restaurant. Hakkasan is a restaurant as well, which makes really, really good dim sum. It has a very like LA chic sort of feel to it. Also really great for groups, especially if you want to do split food dining or family style dining. It is a really great option. But that is MGM Grand. So now let's cross over to the street, over to New York, New York. Essentially, these are very close together in terms of, you know, if you just use the bridge. The New York, New York is one of the smallest hotels in the Strip. It has 2,900 hotel rooms. Actually, it might have 2,700. It's 27 or 2,900. I always sort of forget in that $200 space. But New York, New York is actually a really good hotel for kids as well. They do have a very large arcade, including one of the only roller coasters left on the Las Vegas Strip, the only one that goes outside. The rooms have actually been renovated. This is actually where we stayed when we stayed for the Super Bowl, and the rooms were actually redone. They actually offer really, really good views of the Las Vegas Strip, so would highly recommend the New York, New York. They're actually very, very clean from, you know, my point of view. But also, you're kind of in the center of the action at the New York, New York, because you're on, you know, this side of the street. You are very close to MGM Grand. You can walk over to Park MGM and then get yourself going from there. But New York, New York, also good selection of restaurants, a lot of places inside of their sort of like their Greenwich Village area, which is really, really fun and very kitschy, a very like 1990s Vegas. They do have a pizza place. They have a hot dog place. They also have like a deli. They have the Dueling Piano Bar, which to me is like super cheesy, but some people love it. It's a really great time, especially if you're with a group. They also have Nine Fine Irishmen, which is a great Irish pub that also looks out. They do have a place that actually has really good selection of TVs right next to the sports book, one of the worst sports books in all of Las Vegas. My dad has been gambling for sport and sports for years and years and years. And year after year after year, it never amazes us that New York, New York has the absolute worst sports book on the Las Vegas Strip. So the cool thing about New York, New York, it's a prime location for the T-Mobile Arena, which T-Mobile Arena is located essentially in the outdoor parking lot of where the New York, New York's outdoor parking lot used to be. It was just a big empty space. And now it's a big giant arena with Toshiba Plaza and all that good stuff. So New York, New York, MGM Grand, and Park MGM are prime places to stay if you're going to be going to a concert at T-Mobile Arena. These three hotels give you the closest option in terms of going to T-Mobile. So if you're going to go to a hockey game, or you're going to a concert at T-Mobile Arena, or like UFC or a boxing event, these three hotels will typically be the most expensive to stay at because they are the closest in relativity, or, you know, in relation to T-Mobile. So you kind of you get what you're going for. New York, New York also has a really great outdoor space on two sides of the hotel. The one that looks right on Las Vegas Boulevard, where they have a bunch of restaurants that look out. Used to be called Tom's Urban, but I think they've actually changed the name. It's also where they have a Shake Shack. And on the other side, they've actually implemented a few different places. They have the Beer House, which actually has a really great hangout spot that has sort of outdoor seating for Golden Knights games, concerts, whatever. It's a good pre-gaming spot. They also have a place right next to it, which is called the Losers on the Park, which is a really cool bar that plays live music. So that's really great. They also have Salt Bay's restaurant over there. I haven't been yet. I haven't really wanted to go. But this is a really good spot, especially if you want to hang out, especially if you're here for New Year's Eve. It's a really good place to sit and sort of hang out until you're ready to see the fireworks, which typically the fireworks will go off of the MGM Grand and the Aria hotels. So that's a good sort of note to remember for New Year's Eve in a couple of months. But New York, New York overall, really, really great property. I think it's actually one of the better, affordable hotels to stay at on the Las Vegas Strip, and it's right next to Park MGM, which is also where we have the Dolby Theater. The Dolby Theater is also where you're going to get a lot of concerts. That's where Jason Aldean used to perform. Typically, those are performers who are will be coming in and out of the city, usually not ones that are here like in a residency. Although you do have residencies there. You do have Bruno Mars performs there, as well as Lady Gaga, where she does her jazz shows. She no longer does the pop shows, only the jazz shows. I think the pop shows are kind of a lot for her, especially, you know, doing both of them at the same time. So Park MGM, really clean restaurant. This is sort of the third of the triumvirate of this corner. This was sort of a tough corner to talk about just because you do have the Aria, which is actually connected to the Park MGM. But Park MGM, to me, is actually one of the best affordable hotels to stay at. The rooms aren't going to knock your socks off. They're very, very generic. But they have been redone at least a couple years ago. It does give you a good location to the Las Vegas Strip because you're really much... you're very much within walking distance of a lot of things in that area, like the Aria, MGM Grand. You can walk over to the BrewDog, which is actually a really cool brewery that is across the street that overlooks the Las Vegas Strip, the Hard Rock Cafe, which is across the street as well. But at Park MGM, it's kind of a sneaky good restaurant property. You do have Bavette's, which is a very, very good Chicago-style steakhouse. And then they also have Eataly, which is going to give you many, many options in terms of fast casual Italian cuisine. They also have the Chef Truck, which I always tell people about. If you want to see what the Chef Truck is like, check the Instagram, consciousconfidential_LV. But I really like it. They also have the Nomad Bar, which is probably one of my top three favorite cocktail bars in all of Las Vegas inside the Park MGM. So this property is actually really good for adults. I wouldn't say it's good for kids, but in relation to other things, you can do stuff for kids, but I wouldn't recommend this as a kid's property. I would definitely say this is a hotel you want to stay at if you're on a budget, like for a bachelor party, a bachelorette party, and you want a nice place to stay but isn't going to break the bank. I think Park MGM is really good. And the pools themselves, the pools are going to be very much leaning towards, you know, middle-aged adults. So I would say in their 30s to 50s, I think this is going to sort of hit your stride. It might be a little bit more, a little bit too chill for some 30-year-olds, but just depending on what kind of 30-year-old you are, this might be the spot. But that is Park MGM, which is sort of that, I would say, I'm on a budget, but I want to stay in a nice hotel corner of the strip. So as we continue our trek north up Las Vegas Boulevard, we are now at the Aria Cosmopolitan and let's just say the Bellagio Hotel. We'll keep these all sort of in one section because this is the way that I believe of the Las Vegas Strip looking. So the cool thing about the Aria Cosmopolitan and the Bellagio is that they are all now owned by MGM Resorts. So they've actually added a bridge that connects Bellagio and Cosmopolitan in the back of the hotel, which, funny enough, takes about the same amount of time it is to walk from the Cosmopolitan in front of the hotel to the Bellagio. But let's start with the Aria. The Aria Hotel, this is sort of the gold part of the strip. Aria, Cosmo, Bellagio. To me, this is the diamond part of Las Vegas Boulevard. This is the most expensive selection of hotels in this part of the strip. I'll also throw in the Waldorf Astoria and the Vdara Hotel. The Aria Hotel is part of the City Center complex, which was supposed to be a complex where you live and worked. They also have the Veer Towers and the Crystal Shopping Center. We weren't really talking much about those today, just because the Veer Towers are condominiums. That doesn't really help anybody visiting. But they do have the Crystal Shopping Mall, which is a really, really high-end shopping mall for those of you looking for high-end shopping like Louis Vuitton. It is the largest Louis Vuitton store in the Western Hemisphere, which means North America and all the rest of the Americas. It's huge. They also have Prada. They have Gucci. They have Tiffany. Yeah, it's pretty big. I think it's also one of the largest Tiffany stores in North America as well. It is two floors. So, anyways, inside of the Crystal Shopping Mall, they do have Mastro's, which Mastro's is a fantastic seafood and steak restaurant. Highly recommended for anybody who really wants a combination of steak and seafood. Really, really good lobster tails, really good seafood towers as well. If you trek back from Crystal's into the Aria, which sort of sets back from the Las Vegas Strip, they have Tocamadera, which is a really, really fun, very eclectic, very LA feeling restaurant. They do have fire dancers, I suppose, but it's sort of like Mexico City type cuisine as well. But anyways, let's talk about the Aria. The Aria itself is going to be one of the most expensive hotels to stay at on the Strip. Is it the most extravagant? Debatable. They will have a very exclusive selection of restaurants in here. They have places like Carbone. They have things like we have Carbone. They also have Bardot, which is a really nice French brasserie. They have Easy's Speakeasy for those of you wanting to do that. Their sportsbook's fine. The casino itself is very, very pretty. It's very, very clean. And somebody actually asked me today, like, what's the best smelling hotel on the Strip? Without a doubt, it is Aria. Aria always smells the best. It's also one of the places that has the best poker rooms for any of my poker players out there. But the Aria very much feels like a high-end hotel. It feels very corporate, honestly, to me. The Aria feels the most corporate of all the hotels in the Las Vegas Strip. It feels like it was made for conventions. It feels like it was made to be in commercials. And it feels like people who are kind of basic will stay at the Aria Hotel. But the Aria Hotel itself is very, very nicely oriented in the location of the Strip, which to me is sort of slightly off-center, but close enough to the center of the Strip where it is, you know, gold property. So Aria, really great property, very high-end. I would say this is very much going to be on par with places like the Wynn, the Encore, but I would say much more sleek, maybe a little bit younger, sort of millennial style, but very corporate. It has a very corporate feel to it. It kind of feels like a Christopher Nolan hotel, essentially very cool, very sharp corners. And I don't know how to sort of use that sort of analogy, but that's the one we're using today. But anyways, Aria. And then let's continue moving back. They also have Vdara, which Vdara itself does have a bridge now to the Cosmopolitan, sort of set off of the Strip. It's very important to note that the Vdara Hotel itself is a non-casino property, meaning there is no casino on the inside. It is non-smoking. It's actually a very good hotel for people who want to stay with their kids, because it is also an all suites hotel. So it is a very large property. Very large rooms, not a very large property. It's actually the lobby. And then after the lobby, there's a restaurant. And then you got to get out of there because it's all they have in there. But the Aria the Vdara provides beautiful views of the Strip, whether you get a north-facing view or a south-facing view, because you will always have a view of the Las Vegas Strip. It is set back from the Las Vegas Strip, which used to be a problem because they didn't have a direct way to get to Las Vegas Boulevard, but they've really solved that problem by having a bridge that does connect to the Bellagio and the Cosmopolitan, making the Vdara a much more desirable place to stay when you come to Las Vegas. So if you are staying at the Vdara, you do get access to places like the Aria, places like the Cosmopolitan. So really, the Vdara is a very fun place to stay because they are also typically very affordable in terms of high-end hotels in this sort of like golden strip of Las Vegas Boulevard. So I think the Vdara is a really great choice. Another place that actually is also very interesting that I didn't sort of put in here is the Waldorf Astoria. These hotels are all sort of connected in the city center. So when I say connected, it doesn't mean that they all have bridges to each other, but there is a way to walk in between all of these places. The Waldorf Astoria itself has a beautiful Skyview bar, which is a beautiful lounge that overlooks the Las Vegas Strip. It's very shiny. It's very bright. It is a little bit small, so just keep that in mind. They also have, for those of you wondering, high tea over at the Waldorf Astoria. They do have a little tea room where they have the little biscuits and sandwiches, and of course, tea as well. For any British people who need their tea, this is a place that you can do it at. So that is all located in the city center complex, which will now include, as we move back towards the strip, the Cosmopolitan. The Cosmopolitan essentially is one of the jewels of the Las Vegas Strip. It's also probably the jewel of this sort of diamond center of Las Vegas Boulevard. It is one of the only hotels that has balconies that look north and south, and is one of the better hotels in terms of really marketing itself towards the younger millennial chic audience. They have really fantastic restaurants. They have Scarpetta, which Scarpetta took their tagliatelle off the menu, so I'm a little bit peeved at that, but they did add like a squid ink pasta tagliatelle, which is whatever, fine. They do have Beauty in Essex, which is really great for group style dining, which is going to include this sort of like Ferris wheel that has different appetizers on it. So people really love that, especially if you want to have a fun night out with friends. It's really great. SDK, of course, is always there. It's very much a party vibe. They also have LPM. Haven't tried it yet. It looks very generic, but it's whatever. They also have, is it Kumi? I always forget the name of it. It's not Kumi, though. It might be Kumi, which is actually located at the Cosmo as well. They also have a Jose Andres restaurant called Haleo. So these are very trendy places. It's also Cosmopolitan has the most speakeasies inside their hotel. They have, if I count them on my finger, 1, 2, 3. They do have 3 speakeasies. So they do have the Ghost Donkey. They also have the Ski Lodge in the back next to the where the buffet used to be. Super Freako. And then they also have the barbershop, which they count as a speakeasy. I don't count it as a speakeasy, but really fun time. My brother went. I finally had a good time at the barbershop. Their bartenders could use a little bit of work. Other than that, though, this hotel definitely has its own personality. It feels very fresh. It feels very high-end, and that's sort of the way they project themselves. They're not the new kid on the block anymore, but they really established themselves as a high-end, chic, modern hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. They have really nice table games. Most of them are about 25 or up, but when they do open their auxiliary part of the casino, which is right next to the barbershop, I have seen them have $15 tables there before. So that was, I believe, on Thursday. So that's kind of nice to know going forward. So that's the Cosmopolitan. One of my favorite hotels, honestly. This place feels like it was marketed for millennials who came into money in the dot-com boom, and now they stay at the Cosmo. It's also very international. You find a lot of British people staying at the Cosmopolitan. But this hotel will give you the greatest selection of places to go from, because as we get to the center of the strip, you do get to a lot more hotels. If you notice, when we're starting at the south end of the strip with places like Mandalay Bay, Excalibur, Luxor, you're kind of walking in between those three. But with the Cosmopolitan, you can do so much exploring. You can walk over the Bellagio, Planet Hollywood, the Paris, the Horseshoe. and never have to cross a major intersection at that point. So that's really, really important to note when planning where you're going to be staying at, is that what you, that's what you get when you stay at places like Cosmopolitan, and of course, to the next hotel we're going to, the Bellagio. The Bellagio, to me, is the jewel of the Las Vegas Strip. To me, it is the absolute center of Las Vegas Boulevard. It will give you the most options in terms of restaurants that you can go to, properties you can visit, because it is in the center of the Strip. There are bridges that sort of bridge out from wherever you go, and make it easy to navigate the Bellagio. By the way, the Bellagio is the last stop for the tram, the free tram, that connects Bellagio, the Aria, and Park MGM. So the Bellagio itself will give you fabulous views of the Las Vegas Strip if you get a spot on the fountain side, so the Strip side of the hotel. They also have their spa suite. If you are staying at the Bellagio, it's important to note that you want to stay in the main tower, not the spa tower. The spa tower is going to be the furthest away from the casino floor. It is the addition building to the hotel, and it's fine. It's the most, it's like the newest part of the hotel, but it is not the one closest or going to give you a view of the fountain. So again, if you want to watch the fountain show or see the Las Vegas Strip in all of its glory, you want to stay on the Strip view inside of the main building, the Bellagio Tower, not the spa tower. But with the Bellagio, you do get a very high-end selection of restaurants. You're going to have places like Le Cirque. You're also going to have Wolfgang Puck's Spago, which has been moved from Caesars over to Bellagio. They also have the Mayfair Supper Club, one of my favorite places. You guys have heard me talk about it many, many times with live music. They also have their brand new Bruno Mars Pinky Ring Lounge, which is really, really fantastic. It's really fun for anybody who's trying to party and get down, you know what I mean? So that's a really good spot as well. But this part of the Strip is probably going to be the most vibrant in terms of where you can go, visit, and travel to. What's nice about the Cosmopolitan, sorry, of the Bellagio, it does have a bridge that connects to Caesar's Palace, which that'll be coming up in a little bit. So to me, the Bellagio, including all the hotels at the city center, and of course the Cosmopolitan, which is now included in that as well, is the jewel of the Las Vegas Strip. It is the golden part of Las Vegas Boulevard. And if you stay at any one of these restaurants, sorry, hotels, I keep saying restaurants, any one of these hotels, it's going to give you the greatest selection of, it's going to give you the most varied choice of places you can visit when you're here on the Las Vegas Strip. So we're going to go ahead and take a little break. And then when we come back, we're going to jump on the other side of the Strip, which does have a funny name that I'm going to give it for the other side of Las Vegas Boulevard. So that'll be coming up on the other side of this break. Okay, ready. So we are back. So this is the other side of the pod. So we're going to be jumping on the other side of the Strip now. So the Bellagio is actually located on the west side of Las Vegas Boulevard. We're going to be jumping on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard. These are the Caesars-owned properties. So this is the connection or the connection. This is the sort of triple triumvirate. This is the triumvirate. Triumvirate is only one word. Triumvirate means three, for those of you wondering what that meant. So we're going to be talking about the Horseshoe, the Paris, and the Planet Hollywood. This is definitely balling on a budget part of the Las Vegas Strip because it has a great location in terms of where it is on Las Vegas Boulevard. It is in the center, directly across from the Bellagio Hotel. But these hotels definitely aren't going to have the sort of sparkle that places like the Bellagio, Aria, Cosmopolitan have, but they're in a fantastic location that's essentially more than half of the battle. Because again, remember, you're only staying in the hotel to sleep, right? So we have Planet Hollywood, Paris, and the Horseshoe. So the Planet Hollywood, pretty large hotel on the inside because they have the mall aspect of it. Is it a kid-friendly hotel? I wouldn't say so. As we get further away from the edges of the Strip, you get to be a lot more adult. When you get to the edges of the Strip, places like Circus Circus, places like Mandalay Bay, tend to be a little bit more kid-friendly. But the Planet Hollywood does have a mall connected to it, which is very nice. I always recommend the Miracle Mile shops for any last-minute shopping, for example, like a belt or some pants or a dress shirt. This is a good place to go because they have, outside of the fashion show mall, the most normal selection of shops on the inside. So that would be over at Planet Hollywood. They do also have a P.F. Chang's inside of it. So for those of you wanting to sound exotic, even though we all know that P.F. Chang's is a chain, It's located inside the planet Hollywood. They also have the Sugar Factory here as well. They have the they have Buffalo Wild Wings. They have one of the most fantastic Taco Bells, which is a Taco Bell Cantina, which does serve alcoholic beverages on the inside. So that's what separates this Taco Bell from other Taco Bells, sponsored by Devontae Adams. But that is located at Planet Hollywood. It's also where they have another theater, which changed names, so I don't remember it off the top of my head. But that's inside of Planet Hollywood as well. Then you have the Paris Hotel. The Paris Hotel is directly across from the Bellagio, which actually offers a pretty diverse selection of foods. They do have Martha Stewart's restaurant, which is called something, something Connecticut. But it's Martha Stewart's restaurant. They also have Gordon Ramsay's Steak, which actually is a pretty high-end steakhouse. It's probably one of his most high-end restaurants other than like outside of Hell's Kitchen. But it's actually much easier to get into Gordon Ramsay's Steak than it is to Hell's Kitchen itself. They also have a lot of restaurants on the outside. Mon Ami Gabi comes to mind. Mon Ami Gabi does sit across from the from the Bellagio fountains. So people like to sit outside, have brunch, maybe even dinner. There's also the Beer Park, which is actually set on the second floor at the Paris Hotel, which gives you beautiful views of the Las Vegas Strip. Highly recommend the Beer Park. I did review that on one of my videos, so make sure you check that out on our Instagram page, concierge_confidential_LV, or TikTok at Keys to Vegas, for all of those videos. But yeah, Paris itself, the rooms are actually quite nice. They're actually expanding. They're actually taking over one of the Bally's old towers, which will become part of the Paris complex. So as we talked about that, let's go over to the Horseshoe. The Horseshoe itself is going to be very much in transition of going from the Bally's Hotel to the Horseshoe. One of the biggest things that people like about the Horseshoe is the front. Is the Grand Bazaar shops, where they have many, many different places to eat, drink, shop. There's it's interesting. I've actually been to Turkey where their bazaars were, and those bazaars were actually way it sounds funny. Were way nicer than the bazaar over here at Horseshoe. Much cleaner, much, much better. The ones here, it's kind of a mishmash of different things. I mean, some people love them, like they have like Dirt Dog and all these crazy like hot dog places. It's not my cup of tea, but one of the major things that was added to it was Ole Red, which is actually a four-story honky-tonk bar owned by Mr. Blake Shelton, and has become a very, very popular spot for live music. But for some reason, whenever I go, it's always a long line, and people only seem to be able to get on the very top floor, which is the fourth floor. It is important to note about Ole Red that Ole Red itself on the fourth floor is not part of the rest of the restaurant. So if they have live music, you will not be able to hear it from the fourth floor. They do have their own little stage. We'll have like a DJ and such, but that's kind of it. But I would recommend go there, especially if you like live music. If you get in and get on the inside of the inside of the restaurant, certainly, certainly worth it. So that section, definitely balling on a budget part of the part of the strip, but highly recommended, especially if you are on a budget but you want to be in a good location. Those hotels will give you the same access that the Bellagio has as well. So with that, let's move on the other side of Flamingo Road, which is one of the main arteries that go to and from the freeway. So let's go back to the west side. So let's talk about Caesar's Palace. This is sort of like the other golden part of the Las Vegas Strip. I would say it's just above silver, but not quite to where the Bellagio is. But Caesar's Palace and the Mirage, so these hotels are all sort of connected in these three. Well, actually, we'll just talk about Caesar's in general. So Caesar's by itself, I would actually connect with like the Bellagio, with that section, just because it's going to be that sort of same level of pricing. It also has a very diverse selection of foods. This is actually where the strip actually tightens up, because this has been here since a longer portion of the center strip. It was actually built in 1967. Late 60s, how about that? That's when Caesar's Palace opened, I believe 1966. And then it sort of opened and branched out and become a larger, much larger property. They do have the Forum Shops, which the Forum Shops tend to be more high-end shopping. Although they do have some very approachable places. They have like a Nike store there. They also have, which the Nike store used to be awesome, and now it's, you know, it's kind of lame because they never have your sizes. Local problem, I know. They also have an Apple store. They also have a Levi's store, which I do all of my shopping for my Levi's over at the Forum Shop. So whenever I need special Levi's, I go to the Forum Shops because they have so many different choices. And also, they're just regular prices. So just keep that in mind if you go to the Forum Shops. But again, they do have places like Gucci, Balenciaga. They also have Louis Vuitton. They have Pandora, of course. What else they got? You got Gucci, Chanel, you know, all the big brands. So Forum Shops is also home of Joe's Stone Crab. They also have the Water Grill, which is one of my favorite places to eat. This is really, Caesars is a really good place, especially if you want a very diverse selection of foods. It's also a place that has probably the best celebrity chefs. They have a Gordon Ramsay restaurant in there, Pub and Grill. They also have Peter Luger's, which that just opened. Very, very good, especially for lunch. It's really, really nice. They also have one of the only remaining buffets left in town, which is the Bacchanal Buffet. Keep forgetting these places. They have Mr. Chow's. They also have Nobu. So they have two Bobby Flay restaurants. They have their Italian seafood restaurant, and they also have their brasserie, which is like fast casual. But sit down. But in terms of celebrity chefs, Caesar's Palace is the joint to go to because they have so many of them. But again, it's in a really good location because you can go to a lot of different portions of the Las Vegas Strip. So it's a really good corridor that gets you over to the Mirage. So the Mirage Hotel itself is in transition. Right now, I don't know if they're going to be closing the hotel permanently. There's been sort of rumors that they're just going to close the hotel and then redo it Hard Rock Hotel, which that is confirmed. It will be a Hard Rock Hotel. But they are still figuring out whether they're going to close the property indefinitely or do it in pieces. So we shall see. So if you are still listening to this, go check out the volcano before we turn it off. So I would always connect like Mirage and Treasure Island. They actually used to have a little tram that used to go to each other, which is actually kind of funny. Because why? They used to be owned by the same guy, Steve Wynn. Steve Wynn used to own both the Mirage and Treasure Island, which is why they had a free little train that would go to and from those hotels. But let's just start talking about it. Treasure Island. Treasure Island, honestly, is a budget hotel on the north end of the Strip. Essentially, you are staying there so you can go to either a convention or you can walk over to the Venetian and the Palazzo, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But those parts, the Mirage and the Treasure Island, are essentially budget hotels and very, very generic at this point. So if you want something special, I wouldn't look at these properties. Treasure Island no longer has that cool sort of Treasure Island feel to it. It just feels like it's a hotel that you're staying at on a budget, which is completely fine. But just note that is why you're staying there. But also, really good location because you're actually able to go to the Wynn, the Venetian. You can go to the Fashion Show Mall if you want. You can go to the Mirage. So Treasure Island and Mirage are great because they are in good locations. It's a really good location on the Strip, especially if you want to be a little bit on a budget. But you're not, you know, balling on a budget like at the Horseshoe Paris and the Planet Hollywood. So moving to the other side of the Strip, this is Budget City, baby. And this is not on a budget. This is just Budget City. We're talking the Flamingo. We're also talking about the Harrah's, the Link. And I think I connected them all. Yeah. And the Cromwell. So the Cromwell, the Link, the Flamingo, Harrah's. And I keep wanting to say there's another one, but that's basically it. So that section is really good, especially if you're here on points. Caesars has a really good rewards program. Typically, if you are staying here on a rewards program, they will put you at Harrah's or Flamingo. If you have a lot of points, they'll try to put you at Caesars. It used to be if you had really, 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 really low points, they put you at the Rio, but they no longer own that property. So this part of the Strip is the budget part of the Strip. You are staying here because you got a really good deal. I don't hang out on this part of the Strip very often. For those of you that really follow this podcast pretty frequently, you know that I don't hang out here. It's too many people. A lot of people are here like hanging there just because that's their thing. And it's fine. Again, Vegas is very expensive, and I completely understand that. I'm not staying on the Strip, so I have a little bit of extra money to spend, and I want to hang out at places that aren't the Harrah's and the Flamingo. The thing that has it going for them, though, is that they have a really good location. You're able to go to Caesar's Palace, to Bellagio, to Planet Hollywood, all from this space, but it gets very, very tight walking in this section of the Strip. I also don't recommend you bring your kids to this stretch of the Las Vegas Boulevard, because this is where you do get a lot of you do get a lot of street performers, a lot of the showgirls, which the showgirls who show the least amount of clothing tend to be on this corridor as well. The only reason to walk in this little section, if you have children, and again, this, not everybody has kids who listen to this podcast, but is the Link Promenade, which is absolutely phenomenal. One of the main reasons that you should be walking in this area is to get to the Link Promenade, which you have to get there. So the Link Promenade is actually going to connect you all the way to the High Roller, the big Ferris wheel. So this is the section, the Link Promenade, which is fantastic for children because it is actually made for kids for the most part. There is no casino along that route other than, you know, the casinos that connect it. For example, the Flamingo and the Link. It's also where they have O'Shea's, which is inside of the Link Hotel as well. But along the Link Promenade is going to be where you're going to get a lot of outdoor seating, a lot of great outdoor restaurants. It's really great for dates if you want to go out on a date or something. They have a Tilted Kilt for those of you that want a sports bar. They have the American Bar, which is really fun, very much during like summertime. It's really, really popular. They also have a barbecue restaurant down there. This is also where you'll find the only In-N-Out on Las Vegas Boulevard is on the Link Promenade. They also have Flour and Barley, which is a really great Italian restaurant that serves really fantastic pizzas. They also have the High Roller at the very far end. And of course, the zip line that goes from one end of the Link Promenade all the way down to the other end. It's also where they have a Yard House, which is also very, very popular. So you do get a lot of chain restaurants along the Link Promenade, but definitely worth it if you are here with a family, a large group. This is a really good spot because they are really good at taking large groups because they have outdoor seating to put you at. So Link Promenade, absolutely fantastic. If you are going to be making that a big part of your trip, the Link Promenade, then definitely stay in this area, the Link and, of course, the Flamingo areas. But again, it's very much, this is a section that you should understand is very much on a budget. You're going to get a lot more of an older feel of these hotels. They've been here for a very long time. Flamingo's been here since 1946. Then you also have Harrah's, which has been here since the 80s. Then you're going to have the Link, which used to be Imperial Palace, which has been here since the 80s as well. This is also where Showboat used to be. But this area is definitely more of a budget-friendly property. It's also where you have a... I always forget the name of it. Man, it's a steakhouse. Jeez. They're drawing a blank on these guys. What is the name of that place? I'll have to come up with it later. So, as we move north, let's keep moving, everybody, because this pod's already over our normal time. We're already at 48 minutes. This is going to be a super-sized pod for your Monday. So I kind of hit the 30 mark, and I said, man, I've only gotten to Bellagio, so I definitely had to make this a much longer pod than usual. So I understand if you want to break them in two. So let's get to the north end of the strip, shall we? So, by the way, everything that I've mentioned so far, from basically New York, New York, all the way to like Caesar's Palace, you don't need a car to do any of that. So if you're going to be staying at any of those hotels, you don't need a car. It is very easy to navigate all those hotels without a car, especially if it's a nice part of the year. You don't have to worry about it being too hot outside, which is very nice. So let's move to the north end of the strip. Let's get to the Venetian and the Palazzo. These hotels essentially are the start of the luxury aspect or luxury north end of the strip. This is sort of the diamond of the north end of Las Vegas Boulevard. This is certainly going to be a place where you are going to be able to travel and navigate, and I would highly recommend it, especially if you're staying at places like the Wynn and the Encore. It's very expensive to stay there the entire weekend because of the restaurant offerings, so it's a really good place to walk over and check out the Venetian Palazzo, which are two very large properties, and vice versa. If you get tired of stuff at the Venetian and you want a little taste of the finer things in life, you can walk over to the Wynn and the Encore and get just that. But the Venetian and the Palazzo, two properties connected on the inside. They're actually combined into one very large property. One of the most popular places to stay if you are here for a convention because it has its own convention center space as well as a pretty good access to the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is kind of funny that I say that because you have to walk someplace else to get the tram that will take you to the convention center. But they do have their own, which is the Sands Convention Center. And it is now the closest hotel to the wonderful Sphere, which people love to check out the Sphere. But the Venetian and the Palazzo is a really beautiful property. On the inside is an all suites hotel, so all the room sizes are going to be the level are the sizes of suites. You do get really good views of the Las Vegas Strip. It's also a good hotel if you want to go to any restaurants. They have a very diverse selection of restaurants in this property. They have everything from Black Tap, which I ate at a couple days ago. It was good. They also have Wakuda, which is one of my favorite Japanese restaurants on the Las Vegas Strip. Really great lounge on the inside as well. Really good lounge hotel. Really fantastic places to drink at the Venetian, the Palazzo. Highly recommend. And a beautiful casino. When you walk inside of the Venetian, the Palazzo, eh. But the Venetian itself has a beautiful casino where it just makes you want to gamble inside of it. So if you want a nice place that feels sort of airy, but also a really good gambling spot, Venetian Palazzo, or Venetian specifically, is beautiful on the inside. It has that very old school, like late 90s attention to detail to it, where everything is made to be like it's from Italy, essentially. Palazzo's casino is fine. It's more airy, which is nice, but doesn't have the same sort of like panache that Venetian does. But these two properties boast many, many restaurants. So if you are a foodie, I highly recommend Venetian and Palazzo, and you'll never have to leave the property. They have Mediterranean, they have steak like Delmonico, they have Hasselong, which is sort of Mediterranean cuisine as well, with a performance. Really, really great place to stay for foodies. If you are a foodie, highly recommend Venetian and the Palazzo, and beautiful luxury. So moving north to the Wynn and the Encore. The Wynn and the Encore are essentially the Wynn and the Encore. This is the diamond part of this sort of corridor. So these hotels essentially were the like edge of where I'd want to be going to the Wynn and the Encore properties, because once I got to the Wynn, I knew I made it to the end of what I wanted to hang out at. But these properties, very adult. I forgot to mention Venetian and Palazzo. If you're looking for a high-end place to stay with kids, Venetian Palazzo are really two great properties to do that at. So those hotels like Venetian, you're able to walk over to the Mirage, Treasure Island, to do anything in there. They don't have too many kid things to do, but Venetian and Palazzo, they have a few things to do inside of the Grand Canal shops, which is a really good choice. So Wynn and Encore, luxury, luxury, luxury. Stay here if you can afford it. It is definitely worth it. It's plush. It feels very luxe. Highly recommend the Wynn if you want to have a nice getaway with your wife or your partner or whatever. The Wynn is a really good place. They have fantastic restaurants. Most of the restaurants can be quite pricey, so just keep that in mind. A couple places that I like to recommend, Red 8, which is the Chinese restaurant, is one of my favorite places to eat at the Wynn. If I never know what I want to eat there, I always know I can go to that spot just because they don't require reservations, which is great for a single person, and I really, really enjoy it. They also have Delilah's, which is one of my favorite hangouts. Shout out Dylan, the bartender at Delilah's. He's absolutely fantastic. Go check him out. But the Wynn itself is also where you get some of the best nightlife. So you're going to get Excess Nightclub. They also have Encore Beach Club, which was really the top beach club. It still really is one of the top pools or pool parties on the Las Vegas Strip. Encore is essentially an extension of the Wynn. You're going to get very much the same level of service, same level of care that you got at the Wynn over at the Encore, which is a little different than how the Venetian and Palazzo operate. But Encore itself is going to be a really great place where they have a dueling piano bar, great poker room, and of course they have Casa Playa, which is a really, really popular seafood restaurant. Sorry, Mexican coastal cuisine is what it's called. So that's at Encore Hotel. But yeah, that is essentially the north end of the fancy part of the Strip. It's also a really great location right next to the mall, but we won't talk about the mall today. So we will talk about the other two properties that are on the north end of the Strip that you should take a look at. These are all sort of like satellite. You kind of have to know that if you're going to stay at places like Resorts World, Fontainebleau, or Sahara, you are kind of stuck there. So the good thing about Resorts World, they do have a very large property. It does feel a little disconjointed in terms of how its design is, but they have many things inside there. I would say it's a very large property. They have three different hotels inside of Resorts World. So really, depending on what kind of trip you want to have, you can stay here. They have things like, oh my goodness, they have the Conrad, which is a very high-end part of the hotel. They also have the Resorts World part of it as well, which will be different types of rooms. They have many different restaurants inside of here as well. But the only thing is that the nice thing is that Resorts World is definitely within walking distance of the Encore Hotel, which is quite nice. It is also within walking distance, Resorts World, of the Fountain Blue. So the cool thing is, these are two very, very new hotels. If you are staying at Resorts World, it is definitely worth walking over to Fountain Blue. I find that a lot of people who stay at Fountain Blue do feel sort of alienated from the rest of the strip. And I completely agree. It is a very large property that is sort of sectioned off by itself. And if you are going to be at Fountain Blue, you are going to be at Fountain Blue doing things. And the thing is Fountain Blue, for the most part, to me, is not a daytime hotel. Like, maybe if you go to the pool, it is definitely worth it, but it doesn't feel like a place you want to hang out during the daytime. It's definitely a place you want to hang out in the evening. You typically have a couple different things going on, a little bit more energy at nighttime. Highly recommend Fountain Blue in the evening times, but if you're going to be staying there, I would say maybe walk over to Resorts World maybe during the daytime if you want to gamble or if you want to have sort of like a more casual lunch, because to me, Fountain Blue doesn't have a very good selection of casual restaurants. They do have a food court, a food hall, but honestly, it feels like a food court. Like, it feels like a high-end food court. What's an example? So, like, Aria has a food hall, which feels like a food hall. It feels sort of moody. It does feel like they are sort of like their own little sections. Resorts World has their night market or their market, which sort of supposed to be like a Singaporean or Thai sort of food place with a bunch of different options. Fountain Blue definitely feels more of like a high-end food court with brand name places. It's bright, but it feels like a food court. Like, I love Fountain Blue. It's one of my favorite properties, but that's really what I get out of Fountain Blue. But I won't talk too much about Fountain Blue because I've gone to a lot of places there. I actually went there a couple days ago. I went to Don's Prime, which that'll actually be our next last night in Vegas, of places that I've sampled. So hopefully you stick around for that after you've listened to this gigantic episode. But that'll be later on in the week, probably Thursday or Friday. I'll probably put that out. So again, Fountain Blue, Resorts World, kind of feels separated from the rest of the pack. Circus, obviously a kid-friendly hotel. They do have their Adventure Dome in the back. They do have their Midway, which is going to be it's essentially an arcade. It's meh. Then we have Sahara. Sahara itself, again, is sort of like the rest of this pod. Feels like we've kind of gotten to the end of the Las Vegas Strip, and it's very, very... It is what it is. It has some funky restaurants on the inside. Honestly, to me, Sahara doesn't have much that I want to go to see. And again, it's very isolated in its spot. It's just so unfortunate for the Sahara that there is nothing next to it. You'll find that a lot of the hotels, you want to be center strip because there are so many other places that you can go around. It's so funny. We want you to stay at our hotels so you can go to other hotels as well. It is right next to the Stratosphere, which... The only new thing that they've added is they added the driving range, Atomic Golf, which anybody who's trying to sell you on Atomic Golf definitely looks like the knockoff version of Topgolf. Sorry. Sometimes when you're the first to market, you're just the one that everybody's compared against. And if you don't meet the standard, you're kind of just the knockoff of whatever it is. So I've only seen pictures, but... It's kind of all you need. Anyways, so that was today's episode. We just were able to do the Las Vegas Strip. This went a lot longer. I went into a lot more detail than I thought I was going to, but hopefully you guys are able to split this up in sections. I haven't done an hour pod in a very, very long time, and I don't like doing it. But, you know, it's what you get. You get a whole hour of me talking in your ears. So hopefully this helped your drive. Thank you so much for listening and following along with me here on this journey. I always appreciate giving you guys these tips. And this is a supersized episode because the Strip is a wonderful place that I love talking about all the time. So again, follow me on Instagram, concierge_confidential_LV, or my personal one, which is Brian_Ortega26. If you're into movies and stuff, I just wrote a couple things for DraftKings Network. It's the power rankings for... the next great movie stars in Las Vegas. Austin Butler definitely makes the list. I also wrote about the movie Immaculate. For those that are still listening, thank you so much for having to hear my plug for my movie stuff that I write about. And maybe I'll do a pod about movies. But again, that's a little tougher market to jump into. So anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. If you see me out in town, I like to hang out at places like Delilah's and Mayfair Supper Club. If you see me in town, I give you one of my cards. Just make sure you tell me, keep it confidential, and maybe I'll buy you a drink when you're there. So again, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And remember, keep it confidential.